number 633. There shall be showers of blessing. This is a promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing sent from the Saviour above. 633, and again we sing verse 1, 3 and 5. 633. Really good singing. We keep it up and sing 301, hymn number 301, standing on the promises of Christ our King through eternal ages. Let his praises ring, glory in the highest. I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. The first and the last verse of 301.
Other people are still gathering in, and trust the Lord will bless us here this evening. We want to welcome you to this Friday night meeting of the Easter Convention for this year. We're delighted to see so many already assembled, and we pray that God will meet with us in a very real way. Could we just bow together, please, for a short word of prayer? Father in heaven, we commend this meeting into thy care. Bless us now as we continue to sing thy praise. And may the Lord Jesus Christ draw near. May his great name be glorified. We pray for the help of the Spirit of God in every detail this night, and we ask this all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Please turn in your hymn books to the hymn 100. I want to thank our brother Mr. Greenfield for leading the community singing. I appreciate that very much indeed. The hymn 100. And while you turn to it, let me just remind you of the verses on which this hymn is based. Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Hymn 100, great hymn that we love well. We want to sing it now to the Lord. And after we have sung the hymn, our brother, the Reverend Ian Harris, chairman of the Mission Board, will come and lead us to the throne of grace in prayer. And immediately after our brother has led us in prayer, there will be a DVD presentation concerning the work in Liberia, where my daughter Joanne Greer is serving the Lord. She'll be bringing a report on her work on Monday. But that DVD presentation will follow right after the opening prayer. But let's really sing now in hymn 100, and may the Lord draw near. O Christ, what burdens bowed thy head.
Thank you.
understanding there are people still coming in, which is good, and we're glad to see you all arriving. So we'll sing verse 1 and 5 again, verses 1 and 5 of this hymn, and then Mr. Harris will come to lead us to the throne of grace. Seated.
Let's still our hearts together. After a moment's silent stillness, we'll seek the Lord in prayer. Let us knit our hearts in prayer. Our eternal God and gracious Father, we come into thy divine and holy presence in the Saviour's lovely and all-prevailing name. And we thank thee this evening for the opportunity afforded to us to gather at the commencement of this Easter Convention. And we bless thee, Lord, for the one of whose praise has already been upon our lips. We thank thee for our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for his death and bloodshedding on Calvary's rugged cross. We thank thee for the cup that he drank for us. And we thank that it was finished and it was drank in full. We bless thee, Lord, for those hours of darkness in which the great battle was engaged. And we thank thee, Lord, for the victory that thou didst give to the Son on Calvary's rugged cross. And we thank thee, Lord, for the fact that right throughout those dark hours, as the battle was engaged, that the Son was in control. And we thank thee that at the end of the great work that was done, he could bow the head and he could say, "It is finished," and give up the ghost. And Lord, we thank thee tonight that we're depending our all for God's eternity upon that finished work of redemption of Christ on the centre tree. And as we would come to praise thee for the work of Christ on Calvary's tree, we thank thee also for our risen, ascended and glorified Lord. We thank thee that at this season of the year we are reminded of the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank thee that that same power that is in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is still in the gospel of redeeming grace this day. We thank that it can raise Lazarus from the tomb. We thank that it can raise souls that are dead in trespasses and in sin and bring them to life anew and to life eternal. And we ask, Lord, at the very outset of these special Easter convention meetings, that not only will we enjoy the presence of the company of the people of God gathered from all across our province. But we pray that most of all we'll enjoy the presence and the fellowship of the risen Christ in our midst. Come upon us, we ask of thee, and come into our midst in power and with grace and with blessing. We commit every part of this meeting into thy keeping this night. We pray that you'll bless all who would sing as they would lift up the new song. We pray that thou wilt help them to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that thou wilt grant unto them enablement and the power of the Spirit upon their ministry. As we would watch the presentations, Lord, we pray that our hearts might be stirred. We thank thee for what God has done in the year gone by, even through the outreach of our young people. And we pray, Lord, that we might lift our Ebenezer in thanksgiving tonight for the mercies of God upon the trip to London last year. As we think of Liberia and all of the advances that have been made there, we pray that our hearts might be encouraged and challenged along the way. As we hear of Spain, we pray that thou wilt burden our hearts afresh and anew this evening, and that thou wilt remember us for good. And Lord, remember, we pray of thee, thy servant, as he would open the book of God tonight. We pray that thou, the Holy Ghost, will come upon him, and that he might know new power and fresh unction that only the Spirit of the Lord can impart. We commit every part of this meeting into thy gracious care and keeping. We thank thee for the years that have gone by. Lord, we do thank thee for the vision of the founding fathers of this convention. We thank thee for all that God has wrought through it. We thank thee for raising up servants and thrusting out workers into the harvest field through these meetings. We remember those who in years gone by left home and loved ones from these meetings. Men like our brother Dr. Bill Woods, we pray you'll bless him tonight. We especially commend and commit him into thy care and keeping and all of the special circumstances in his life. We just leave him at thy feet. We thank thee, Lord, for the ministry that thou hast given to him, and we pray you'll continue to undertake for thy servant. We thank thee for others, Lord, who have gone. We thank thee for the like of the Munn family in years gone by, and we pray, Lord, that thou wilt still be pleased to grant fruit from their labours in the days that lie ahead. Lord, we commit to thee tonight every young life that's bowed before thee. We rejoice in the great potential that there is for God's great eternity and his service in this meeting. And we pray that thou wilt strive with both young and old, and this night that thou wilt lay hold upon lives, and that thou wilt call them into the Master's harvest field. We rejoice that we're here. We thank thee for the mercies and the tender providences of God that have permitted us to be part of these meetings. And we pray that thou wilt continue with us and meet us and touch us this night and throughout this weekend at the point of our need. Amen. Hear now our prayers as we present these, our petitions, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen.
Hi, I'm Joanne Greer. I've been in Liberia for 1 year now. Here's a quick highlight video of the work there. I think you'll enjoy it. Well, I might not call it a highlight video.
Well, I don't know. Why don't we just call it snippets from Liberia? We'll just do little sections telling a little bit about the work. Oh, by the way, I'm Dave DiCanio, and I'm a missionary at large, and I've been laboring here in Liberia for about 2 years now, just over 2 years. A lot of people ask, is Liberia stable now after the 14-year civil war? I'd simply ask, you know, is any African country stable? This video here that you're looking at, I shot in front of my apartment one afternoon during the time of elections where there was quite a bit of tension in the air. The youth of the community just outside of Monrovia were attacking all the government vehicles because they heard a rumor that they were not going to be paid money for a street cleaning job that they had done for the city. And so they stopped the vehicles, pulled the passengers out, and proceeded to destroy the government cars. You have to remember that Africa has not, in my opinion, has not really had the powerful effects of the Protestant Reformation that so stabilized Western civilization, those unintended consequences of the gospel, both politically and economically. And so, yes, there is an instability. As I was shooting this footage, the most alarming thing here was the response of the police, because they came into the scene shooting. And I thought, this is the authority. You know, that's the kind of instability that you have, and it's still there in Liberia. The UN still has its peacekeeping force. And I would say that I don't know if the UN is going to leave anytime soon. This crowd was so bold, mostly young people, that they had the audacity to actually stop the presidential motorcade. The president's house was actually, or the riot was actually happening on the only access road to the president's house. And so this is, she came right down the road and they stopped her.
Now, Joanne has a workload that is quite full, and it was our privilege to see firsthand something of what she is doing. First week of our time was to witness the vacation Bible school that she had organized, and it ran from Monday to Friday every afternoon. My wife and then her daughter Jerusha were also able to help out in that vacation Bible school. It was a great experience for them to work with these children and assist Joanne in running of the vacation Bible school and various ways seek to help in that work. Other regular duties that Joanne carries out are, of course, the Sunday school work in the Painesville Church, and every Sunday morning at 9:30, quite a good group of children gather together, and it is, of course, Joanne's goal to see other people raised up to be teachers and to be workers. Among the children, there are a few young men who are showing some advancement in that area, but a lot of work is needed there just to train people. Then on Wednesday afternoon, she has a weekly Bible club. Then on two afternoons, she has a reading club on Tuesday and on Friday afternoon. That runs for a number of hours. It's designed to help young people of various ages to be able to read properly and clearly. And of course, the great goal here is that they'll be able to read God's Word. She also gives music lessons to a number of people. So she is very busy. She's settled well. Mr. DiCanio remarked to me that in a very real sense, Joanne hit the ground running and was eager to get going and eager to get into the work, and certainly we were able to witness that this indeed is the case, and she is fully involved and obviously enjoying the work to which the Lord has called her.
Hello, my name is Abraham Wallabout. I'm from Tuboro. I go to Ruth L. Reef Memorial Baptist School, and Miss Cheryl also teach me some Bible verses.
That was Abraham Mulba, a 12-year-old Sunday school student from the Mission Church in Painesville. He's one of our most faithful students and seems to have a genuine interest in spiritual things. Sadly, he's just been recently diagnosed with hepatitis B. He started some treatment. The doctors have been able to give him treatment to slow down the progress of the disease, but he's understandably anxious about the whole thing, especially since his father died a couple of years ago of the same problem. This boy came from the interior a couple of years ago to Monrovia. His mother came and requested one of the families in our church if they would take him in and give him an education. After his father had died, his mother had six or seven children and didn't have any way to take care of them, really, and provide for them and send them to school. So Abraham was chosen to be the one to come, and really we can see the providence of God in that, because this boy, I believe, has come to know Christ and is very interested, is always reading his Bible and praying at home. That's what the family tells us. He's always asking questions, some very deep questions. Just pray the Lord will give him strength.
Oh,
What was your favorite Bible story?
Bible is Abraham.
Abraham?
Yeah,
really?
Why?
Because
I want you to. Okay,
okay. All right.
All right.
Anything else?
No, I just want to say all the people that are in UK, hello.
All right, Dave DeCanio again for the Free Presbyterian Christian Bookstore, Police Academy Junction. We now have Bibles in the French language. And, of course, we still have lots of English Bibles.
Now, Mr. DeCanio himself has a lot of responsibility weighing upon his shoulders. He will be preaching regularly every Lord's Day, at the present time mainly in Painesville, although he goes out to the other churches as well to preach in those pulpits. He also has a lot of responsibility organizing the churches, seeking to guide them and direct them. We must keep in mind that these churches that are in existence, in the past, they perhaps followed a theology and a form of worship that would not be in keeping with our own views. And while there is some way to go in helping these people to see these issues, yet we believe that the Lord is blessing Mr. DeCanio's ministry as he's here on the ground and is laboring for Christ. He's also involved in the training of the pastors, as well as a number of young men who desire to train for the ministry. And therefore, there is a heavy load here upon our brother's shoulders as he works with these men and seeks to train them as they move forward in preparing for the ministry. Another very important aspect of the work with which we were deeply impressed is the work of the bookstore. There is a bookstore in Painesville. It is well organized and seeks to distribute a good selection of Christian books and Bibles. There's a bookroom manager, Martin Bann, who comes along every day and does a very good job in the day-to-day running of the bookstore. But it is really Mr. DeCanio's responsibility to order the books, and that the people who stop in at the bookstore are well supplied with books that will feed their souls and that will guide them in the right direction away from the false doctrines and the particular trends of our day. So pray much for that bookstore. It is a contact point as well for the church. It's located right beside the Painesville Church. It's part of the property. It is therefore a very good way of reaching people. And many have come in and asked questions about the church and about the Free Presbyterian movement. They're supplied with literature. And some of these people will visit the services. And therefore it is good in that sense as well, as a means of outreach, a means of reaching people right in the area itself where the church in Painesville is located. It would be Mr. DeCanio's burden that maybe someday there'll be another bookstore in the city itself. And you could pray about that right in the city of Monrovia, because there is there an open door. The cults are in the city. There are other church groups whose doctrine is very shallow. The trends of the day, like Pentecostalism, Charismatism, all these issues that... And it would be great if there could be another bookstore opened up in the city itself. Painesville is maybe half an hour, 45 minutes out of Monrovia. That's only a thought at the moment, but if you would pray about that, certainly it would be good to see how that would develop.
I know a lot of people are curious and wondering, how is the construction project going? My time right now is totally occupied with the construction. Building in a developing country, especially one that's seen years of civil war, it's certainly not an easy task. There are certainly good laborers and skilled workers, but it's more common to find workers who say they can do the job and really they know very little about it. And it was my opinion that our contractor was a little uncertain in areas, and so we ended up setting him aside as we got to the roof level of the house, on house number one, and ended up hiring the major company to do sections of the project to finish up the first house. So we also kept in close contact with Larry Killian from our Greenville, South Carolina church. Larry was the head of the maintenance department at Bob Jones University for a number of years and knows a lot about building. He actually designed the house, so we're We're really grateful to him for his work. These photos that you're looking at here show the progress we've made on the first house. Now, we still need to install 25 doors and correct a few mistakes on the doors. We are in the process of installing the lighting and laying the water line from the well to the house. And what's been accomplished on the property so far? Well, we've laid 800 foot of road to the property over sand with gravel. And this had to be done by myself and several of our church boys because our first contractor was, well, he was negligent on two occasions and failed to bring the machine that we actually paid for to do the job. And so we have to beat the rainy season or we'll have no road for 1 year. We also are in the middle of building a 1,300-foot security wall. It's about 8 to 10 feet high. It's going around a large portion of the property, not the entire property. It's 3 acres, but a good chunk of it. And then, of course, the ocean view, we don't want to block that with a wall. So we're actually building 165 feet of metal bar, and that's going to be braced with concrete pillars every 12 feet. We've completed the generator house. We have a 15 kVA generator. The cable's been run from the generator house to the warehouse, which now acts partly as an electrical substation. And then the cable is going from there to the first house, and it'll go to the second house. And so generator house is a good 400 feet away from the house, so you can't even hear the big diesel generator. It's almost like you've got normal electricity. So it's working out very well. Things that need to be done, we still need a 30-foot water tower to bring pressure to the houses. We need some type of room where the security daytime groundskeepers will stay, and this needs to include a shower and a toilet and all that. Most importantly, we need to build the second house, and that's Joanne's house. And we're submitting that proposal to this large construction company that I mentioned build portions of the U.S. Embassy. Thank you so much for your prayers for the project. Please continue to pray. And, of course, thanks very much for all the support that's been given towards this work here and then the building project.
Just before we close the video, let me thank you for your prayers and support for God's work here. Proverbs 11:18 says, "Him that soweth righteousness shall reap a sure reward." And that's what we're trying to do in Liberia. Sow seeds of righteousness here and there where God gives opportunity. And for me, that's especially among the children. So pray that many of these kids will be saved and raised up to serve the Lord in their generation. Please also pray that the Lord will raise up more laborers to come out to this field. We need to see more missionaries coming out. It is a very new work in many ways, and there's great need for men to come and to train others. There's a Christian heritage and a Christian history here in Liberia. There have been missionaries in the past, and officially it's a Christian nation. But in many ways, it's the experience or the knowledge of Christianity is very shallow.
Well, I trust that was of a very informative nature for the congregation this evening. The work in Liberia is a new work, essentially, and we are really thrilled at what the Lord is doing there, has done already, and believe will continue to do in days to come. And you've heard the exhortations here for prayer from those who prepared the video or the DVD to take that work to heart and pray much that God will pour out His Spirit in days to come. We have two youth choirs here this evening, one first of all from Mid and South Down, then the other from the Armagh area. They are going to sing for us, and I'm just going to introduce them now. First of all, the youth choir from Mid and South Down, and then after they have sung, our sister Miss Joy Gillespie will come to the pulpit, please, and she'll bring a report on the work in Spain. And immediately after she has brought that report, the youth choir from the Armagh area will come to sing. And then there will be a DVD presenting the outreach that was carried out in London during the Olympics last year. So that's the order right here. First of all, the choir from Mid and South Down, then Miss Gillespie, then the Armagh choir, then the DVD concerning the London outreach to the Olympics. So those are the details. This is the order, and want the youth choir to come first of all from Mid and South Down and keep moving along in that order that I've outlined for you, and that will save me getting up and down. So the first choir, please.
clothed in righteousness divine. I see the bar of heaven removed, and all thy merits, Lord, are mine.
I would just like to take this opportunity to thank each minister and congregation for their kindness and willingness to fit us in as we have been going about our province on deputation in these past 3 months. The Lord has been gracious to us and has given us the needed health and strength for all of these travels. And I was once again touched by the love and support, both prayerfully and financially, that you have for the mission field. It was lovely to renew old friendships and to make new ones. Thank you for your kindness and generosity to me. In the Bible, we read of many incidents where God's people held the ropes and supported others. We have the four friends who brought their sick friend to Christ to be healed, or Rahab who saved the lives of the two spies, and not forgetting the Apostle Paul escaping from the Jews in Damascus. All of these occasions show us the need to help and assist our fellow believers. So please continue to remember to hold the ropes of prayer for the land of Spain, whether in the north, remembering Jordi Ruiz, or in the centre, the Reverend Hannah and Angel Alvarez, and then in the south, Lyle Boyd and myself. Remember us in your prayers, as well as the land of Spain, that God will have mercy upon it and send more workers to reach the many millions in this needy land who as yet have not heard the gospel of Christ. Pray that God's Spirit will come, convicting and convincing men of their need of a Saviour. Remember especially the village of Cortijos Nuevos where I work. Pray that the Lord will continue to break down the walls and barriers, and that men and women will soon feel free to join us in the church. Remember Pepe and Cristobal, the two gentlemen that we have mentioned as we've been going about on the deputations. Lyle was saying that Christopher has been coming to two of the midweek meetings as well. So continue to pray for him. Continue to pray that the Lord will break down the barriers that he has, and that the Lord will draw both these men to come into the churches and join with us on the Lord's Day. Just concerning the English classes, we have been seeking help concerning them, and I would like to thank all those who have come forward and offered their homes to take in the students. I would ask just like to thank you for that, and just to say that we have it prepared for this year, but we have taken down notes of all who have offered their home, and maybe in another occasion, in another year, then we will be able to use your services. But please continue to hold the ropes of prayer for the land of Spain. One of our hymns says, "There's a work for Jesus ready at your hand. 'Tis a task the Master just for you has planned. Haste to do his bidding. Yield him service true. There's a work for Jesus none but you can do. Pray for us and the land of Spain. Que Dios te bendiga."
sing things above of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story for those who know it best.
Right there, I would be going to hell. But you have to ask yourself that question today. If you die, then today, you might never see tomorrow. Where would you go?
God sent His only Son into the world to save, to seek, and to save that lost.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new.
Opportunities to witness to people, but just gave us the strength and
and the courage to go up to people and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's been so encouraging to see how he's moved, and just really realising that the work is not ours, but it's God's.
My favourite part of the 2 weeks outreach was the Holy Bible Club, where many boys and girls got to hear the gospel for the first time.
What really encouraged me over the last 2 weeks was the response we received at the doors, and even about how we had to depend on the Lord, because we never knew who was on the other side of that door. We just really felt the Lord's strength and help and wisdom and our responses. And also, one day down in Walthamstow, we were talking to a lady called Kat, who was a gypsy from Ireland, and she actually came out after the meeting last Sunday, so that was really encouraging.
Okay, so my sort of memory of the 2 weeks outreach, I think probably last week when we had the open air at Walthamstow, was something which stays with me. Just, I think, I suppose just the reception to the preaching, and also the way in which people were spoken to on a one-to-one level. So for me, it stands out. But I think really over the whole 2 weeks, everything has been an achievement, and also a wonderful expression of Christian testimony.
Well, I think one of the most encouraging things I have found these 2 weeks is that the amount of people that have stopped and talked to us when they're giving out tracts and stuff. We just need to pray now that God will speak on in their hearts and that souls will even be saved as they listen.
In the harvest field, now ripened, there's a work for all to do. And hark, the Master's voice is calling to the harvest, calling you.
Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you grow in Jesus' name.
Could I thank the choirs, first of all, for their participation tonight. I think you'll all agree that we are blessed through the ministry and song. We thank you and all who were involved in the training of these choirs. Obviously, quite a bit of work went into it, and we thank you in the Lord's name for that. And also, our young people are to be commended for their labours in London during the Olympic Games there. And we thank God for the young people of the Free Church, and for those who went and participated in that outreach. We thank the Lord for that witness, and may there yet be fruit in the City of London and other places as a result of that witness for the Lord. We welcome you to the convention. It's great to see this building almost full tonight, and the hen roost, as we used to say, is almost full as well. So the Lord has blessed us, and we give the Lord thanks for that. Just some practical things in the announcements tonight. I'll try to keep them as brief as possible. You have your program, and I trust that you'll keep that and bring it again on Monday. If you forget it, of course, you'll get another one. There should be plenty at the doors of the church. Could I just say, after this meeting, immediately after the service, there's refreshments for all in the Jubilee Complex Level 2. Lifts are available on the ground floor. Also, it can be accessed by the stairway. And if you go up there, please, there's a certain route. You'll be directed up there to go in and then to go out down the other stairway, so that you're not coming and meeting people who are coming up. That's very important. These practical things are important, so keep that in mind. So don't be coming down the same stairway that you went up, because there'll be a sort of a clash there, as you can understand. Could I also mention that there are DVDs and CDs, the convention services. These can be ordered in the main office and studio there, just on the ground floor in the Jubilee Complex. And please supply your name and all the details and make payment as per program. Look at your program and you'll see that. I'd like to thank Mark and Joseph and all the team for all the work that they have done. Long hours have been spent setting up all of this equipment, and we appreciate all that work on behalf of our presbytery, we thank you in the Lord's name. Now, on Monday afternoon and evening, there's a kids' club during the services on level one, and that's been organised by Philip Hart, and we appreciate the work he does and many helpers there. So if you have children of school age, then, of course, you can register on the first floor, follow the signs there, and you will get to the kids' club during the services afternoon and evening on Monday. There's creche facilities at all services on the ground floor. The Jubilee Complex, again, follow the signs. There are toilet facilities at front of the church and in the Jubilee Complex as well, on the ground floor and on the top floor of the Jubilee Complex. You'll find plenty of toilet facilities. Now, refreshments are available on level 2 of Jubilee Complex on Monday. Between the services, tea, coffee, soft drinks are free. Some people prefer to bring their own eatables. If you do that, that's okay. You can go up there and get the necessary refreshment to go along with that. Also, there's a cold buffet that will be available on level 2. There'll be a small charge for this. There are sheets available at the exits of the church tonight, front and the side exit, if you wish to avail yourselves just of that cold buffet. You don't want to bring your own stuff. You want to get that, access that, then please put your name down. Not we're looking for names in particular, just looking to try and get an estimate of numbers for that, and we'd appreciate if you would pay attention to that for Monday. Now, we're generally speaking just announcing denominational announcements. You'd appreciate other people coming with announcements for your local church. We can't cope with that over this weekend, so we're not doing that in general. One exception is Martyrs Memorial, because we are in their facility. So the services here on the Lord's Day, 11:30 and 7, Reverend Wesley McDowell is the preacher and Matthew McGill is the soloist. That's on the Lord's Day here in Martyrs. And if you're in the area, you will be welcome. Convention services continue Monday at 3:30. Reverend John Greer, our moderator, will be the preacher. And there'll be various reports and missionary reports, of course, special singing. And then in the evening time at 7, do remember, again, the preaching of the word and those that participate. And Brother Greenfield bringing the community singing before the services. There are bookstalls, Mourne Missionary Trust, Christian schools, Whitfield College, etc. on the ground floor. Again, follow the signs, the Jubilee Church there. You'll find all the bookstalls today and on Monday. Could I thank the Kirk Session Committee of Martyrs Memorial again for the use of these excellent facilities for the convention. Our presbytery really appreciates the use of the facility here at Martyrs Memorial for this convention. Also, thanks to the organist, our brother Peter, and also our sister Joan at the piano for their labours. To the sound team, as we have mentioned, for all their work. LTBS magazines in the Jubilee Complex, you can pick them up there. Connection with our youth council, there's the annual summer camp 2013, aged 12 to 15, 29th of July to 2nd of August. Do remember that. You can access all the information and get the forms from the website. And also the annual summer camp, aged 16 to 18, 13th to 16th of August. Again, you can access the forms from the website. The connection with our Christian schools, the Covenanter trip, 16th to the 18th of May. Again, information is available on that. The offerings over this weekend, of course, you realize that we just don't put this on without expense, and there are considerable expenses that we want to seek to defray. And then, of course, over and above that, we want to help in various works within our presbytery, and the presbytery will distribute that as it sees fit. But we must meet all the expenses of the convention, the conference meetings, and we trust that you will give liberally to the Lord's work in that regard.
Well, turning, please, to hymn number 134. It is our offering hymn, Before the Throne of God Above, I Have a Strong, a Perfect Plea, a Great High Priest whose name is Love, who ever lives and pleads for me. Remember to pray for the convention, please, for the meetings on Monday. the Lord will draw very near and pour out His Spirit upon us as we gather here and worship Him together. Come along, bring your family, your friends with you. Encourage others to attend. Let's see the building as well filled out, both services on Monday as it is here this evening. Pray for our missionaries. This is an emphasis upon missionary work, especially tonight, and we're thankful to our sister, Miss Gillespie, for her report, and we pray that you'll remember her as she soon goes back to Spain, just in a couple of weeks' time, that the Lord will go with her and bless her. Number 134, and your offering will now be received. Let's really sing to the Lord. Verses, we're going to have the ladies, we're going to stand, we'll have the ladies sing verse 4, men in 5, and everyone in verse number 6. Let's stand, please. The ladies in verse 4, men in 5, and then all of us in verse number 6. During the year gone by, a change at the helm of the Missionary Council took place in terms of a new chairman being appointed by our presbytery. Mr. George McConnell from our church in Kilkeel held that role for many, many years and served the council very faithfully, and we are indebted to him, and it is only right that we mention his name and pay tribute to him again, even here tonight. On this occasion, and we thank him very much indeed for all his work over those years. The new chairman is the Reverend David Park, minister of our church in Ballymoney, And when we were organizing the convention, which, as you are aware, is under the guidance of Presbytery, we felt it would be good to have him preach, the new chairman of the Missionary Council. So trust the Lord will bless him in his work in that capacity and continue to use him there, and also bless him here tonight as he preaches the Word of God. So we welcome Mr. Park, and he will come now and bring the message of the Lord.
I'd like to say good evening to each one tonight. Thank you, Mr. Greer, for the words of welcome. And it's probably at this stage that George McConnell is glad that he's not the Missionary Council chairman, for this might have been his task tonight. I have just a few announcements to make on behalf of our missionary work. The first one is concerning our missionary prayer requests. This was something we put together at the Missionary Council. We had a prayer meeting last month, and these were the items that we went down. And if I was just to highlight some matters with you, we have the home missionaries, we have the south of Ireland, Spain, Kenya, Nepal, India, Australia, and we mentioned Liberia, also under the North American Mission Board, and the works in Jamaica, Mexico, and the Czech Republic. I haven't time to go through that, but if you'd like a copy, we can make that copy available to you so that you can remember the missionaries that serve the Lord under the board. The second matter is to do with a DVD that was produced on behalf of the Bible Christian Faith Academy over in Kenya, where Sister Noreen is the principal and Margaret is the administrator. And if you didn't get a copy of this, we have some copies left. If you see myself or Brother George McConnell, we should be able to facilitate you with that. There's a trip going out later this year to Kenya. You probably know that Margaret Russell has served the Lord now for 30 years in that land. Well, she will have come the month of July. And in October, there's a 12-day trip that has been organized from the 16th to the 29th of that month. There are a few places left. I think there's 35 people who have signed up already to go on that trip to join our sister Margaret and those missionaries in Kenya to rejoice in the work that has been done. If you'd like to go, we have application forms here. And the final announcement is to do with the Missionary Council. There's a weekend planned in the month of November, and if you'd like to go on that weekend, there's a few places left. If you again see us about that, we have application forms for you. I'd like you to turn tonight in the Word of God to the Gospel of Matthew and the chapter 9. And then there's one verse that we want to read in the Gospel of Mark in the chapter 16. A few years ago, I stood in the graveyard of the Kirk of Shotts, near to the spot where John Livingstone had preached many, many years ago. He preached a sermon that resulted in the conversion of 500 people on the spot. Our covenanting fathers had gathered together to have a special communion service. This was organized for the encouragement of the persecuted ministers who had been ousted from their pulpits. And they came together on that occasion, and such was the blessing that came down on the Sabbath day. They felt that they could not leave without having one more day of thanksgiving to the Lord for his mercy towards them. After much persuasion, John Livingstone consented to preach. Finding their hearts too full of joy for sleep, many of them formed themselves into little groups, little bands of individuals to pray and to fellowship together all the night through. When the morning was come, a sore trial beset the young preacher. As he thought about the great expectant multitude, he was overwhelmed with a sense of his own unworthiness, incompetence, and insufficiency. And all strength seemed to drain from him at the thought of preaching that day. He was about to flee across the fields.
In my case tonight, it would be across Ormo Park, is that? I think out the front here. But his friends persuaded him to stay and to preach the word of God. And so on the 21st of June, 1630, in the churchyard of Shotts, John Livingstone stood up amongst the people, feeling himself the least and the weakest of God's creatures. However, he preached with a special anointing. Burning thoughts and burning words filled his heart and lips. And for an hour and a half, he preached the word of God that day with great power. I can see already in your faces that you're praying, Lord, give the preacher tonight the same anointing that John Livingstone had way back then. Just as the meeting was about, well, he sought to come to a conclusion. He was just going to wind up the preaching after an hour and a half. He suddenly felt a fresh power coming over him, and he preached on for another hour. And I can see the same excitement in your face tonight that I might have that special unction. Well, we trust we do have unction tonight, and the help of the Lord. And at the conclusion of the message, 500 souls were saved. John Livingstone said he had never preached like it before or after. In fact, I understand his testimony was he ever only preached once. It was a special time when the Lord came down with great power. Well, I've felt a little bit like John Livingstone in these days. And I come tonight, I have to confess with my own personal weakness. But looking to the Lord, I want to set before you the great burden for the Great Commission, as we have it in the portion of Scripture that we're going to read just now, and also in the other text that I want to mention this evening. I want to highlight our duty and responsibility as a denomination and as individuals before the Lord. I'm not going to set before you anything new. In fact, my texts tonight are familiar verses that have often been a challenge to the Church of Jesus Christ through the centuries, and I trust will also be a challenge to us this evening. And it is my prayer that the Word of God will come with a freshness and with power as we seek to present it tonight to you. It's the longing of my heart that the Holy Spirit of God himself will come and abide with us in his Word and teach us the things that we need to know. We long for a breath of revival. We need a breath of revival. We long in our hearts to see something of what the Lord is doing in other places. And we think of the land of Nepal. And we thank God for these past 6 or 7 years that our denomination has been associated with the work there. And how the Lord has come down. Hundreds of people converted. 101 churches founded. I want you to pray for our moderator, Reverend Greer, for the chairman of the mission board, Reverend Harris, as they go out to Nepal to talk to them next month about their future. But they have a desire to be a Free Presbyterian church. It's not very often 101 churches say, we want to be like you. We want your worship. We want your church government. We want your preaching. Come over and help us to see how we can start a Free Presbyterian church. Do pray, please, for our brethren as they go. Pray for us tonight as we come to God's Word. I have been encouraged. A number of people have contacted me today and over the past few days just to say we've been praying for you. I appreciate that. I came into the martyrs tonight and one of the elders said he was talking to Dr. Bill Woods, and the message from Dr. Bill tonight is, I'm praying for you. So that's good, even away over in the land of Brazil. And we trust that he will be blessed and he will know the touch of the Lord. He hasn't been well, as you know, in recent times. And recently he has been diagnosed with tuberculosis, so he's fighting that as well, together with other things. Let's read God's Word as we have it here in Matthew chapter 9. And the last verses, verse 35 to 38. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And then one verse in the Gospel of Mark chapter 16. The words of verse 15 known to you, where he, that is Jesus, said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I trust tonight the Lord will bless the reading of his precious word and write these scriptures indelibly upon your mind and your heart. I want to speak tonight on two commands regarding the Great Commission. Gathered around the eternal throne of dazzling splendor and glory, there is a great multitude that no man can number. They are God's redeemed and chosen people from every nation, every kindred, every tongue, and every people. They come from every era of history, from every part of the inhabited earth, and they are serving and worshiping the Lamb who was worthy. And they are singing unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And they are there because they are redeemed, redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. No one will be found among that number who has crept in unawares. And they are there in the eternal purpose of God. But God has a means to gather them in, a way of reaching precious souls and to bring them home to glory, and it's through the preaching of the gospel. It pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. How shall they hear without a preacher? As Paul wrote to the church at Rome, he asked that question and talked about how the Lord raised up men and sent them forth, and how the faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. However, there are serious problems pervading the Church of Jesus Christ today. There is a deafening silence resting across the Christian Church of the 21st century. Many of the Lord's people have tight lips and closed mouths when it comes to the spread of the gospel. They're not like Andrew, by all accounts, a quiet, timid individual, but when Andrew was converted the same day, he went out to find his brother Simon Peter and brought him to the Lord. They're not like Philip, who found Nathanael his friend and likewise brought him to the Savior. Nor like the woman of Samaria in John chapter 4, upon finding the Lord herself and receiving God's salvation that day, she ran back into the city of Sychar and began to publish the Lord Jesus Christ abroad. For whatever reason, maybe it's embarrassment, maybe it's just simply the lack of burden, they do not tell others about their need. What an awful crime to have the light and yet not to tell it to others. What a day of accountability it's going to be when we stand before the Lord. There's not only a deafening silence resting upon the Christian church, but there's also a deep sleepiness that has settled upon the church today. We fail to see the great need around us. We fail to sense the lost estate of perishing souls. We fail to grasp the everlasting fire that burns for those that die in their sins. And so multitudes all around us upon the face of this earth are rushing as fast as their feet can carry them to everlasting doom. We can hear of a young woman cut down suddenly in an accident. A young man launched out into the great eternity in the prime of life, and still we fail to see the great need, to sense it in our heart, to reach men and women with the gospel. How true it is, the church is sleeping while the world around us rushes to hell. One day Napoleon was running his finger around a country. He was talking to his generals. And he said, there lies a sleeping giant. Let it sleep. Because if that country ever wakens up and harnesses its manpower to its mineral power, it will shake the world. He was talking about none other than the great country of China. See the devil standing by. He's not running his finger around a map, but he is running his finger around the Church of Jesus Christ. And he is saying, there lies a sleeping giant. Let it sleep. For if it ever discovers or rediscovers the power of the Holy Spirit and rediscovers the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it will shake the world. And how true that is. And then, of course, there's also a sad stubbornness invading the hearts of Christians in the modern age. Believers who know better, who know the issues, who possess light and understanding and knowledge and simply refuse to go and work for the Lord. Maybe ambition stands in the way. Maybe it's laziness. Maybe it's some relationship or other, but they refuse to obey the command of the Great Commission and go and work for the Savior. We are praying at this Easter convention that the Lord will be pleased to stir the hearts of those that gather this weekend. That the Lord will be pleased to instill a fresh vision into our hearts, a burden into the hearts of many to go into the harvest fields, or at least to make themselves available. To say tonight in this meeting and in the meetings on Monday, here am I, Lord, send me. I'm willing to go if the Lord calls me. Many times I sat where you're sitting. I listened to sermons on the subject of full-time service. My heart was stirred. I watched young people walk these aisles as they dedicated their lives to the Lord. There are those that came into the Whitfield College of the Bible as a result of this special Easter weekend, these convention meetings. We have ministers and missionaries of the cross who are now preaching the glorious gospel because of what happened at these Easter conventions many years ago. I long for those days to come back. And I covet each young person for the Lord in this meeting tonight. I tell you, we need to get back to New Testament Christianity and the vision that the Lord intended his people to have for the multitudes of souls around us. The great Spurgeon said, if there be one point in which the Christian church ought to keep its fervor at a white heat, it is concerning missions. If there be anything about which we cannot tolerate lukewarmness, it is in the matter of sending the gospel to a dying world. He said, there is a prayer that I mean to continue to offer until it is answered, that God would pour out upon this church a missionary spirit. We identify ourselves with these words tonight. A prayer that we will continue to offer our ministers, our presbytery, that the Lord will pour out upon the free church a missionary spirit. A great preacher once spoke on the missionary question and said, the great question is not, will the heathen be saved if we do not send them the gospel? The question is, are we saved ourselves if we do not send the gospel? So just for a little time in the closing minutes of this service tonight, I want to give some emphasis to the Great Commission. And if by the grace of God these verses can be embedded upon your mind and heart, and you will go away thinking about what the Lord has said as we think of the Great Commission tonight, we will have achieved something as the Word of God lives in your heart. And so I want to speak on the two commands regarding the Great Commission. Very simply, first of all, there is a command to pray. Pray ye therefore. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 9, the last two verses. Then saith Jesus unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. In this passage of Scripture, Jesus has been talking about the great harvest and the need for laborers to go. He mourns over the fact that few are burdened and enter into the fields of service. And so he exhorts his church to pray. There is no greater example in all the Bible of a New Testament minister and missionary than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And he's our example in all things, and we ought to follow in his steps. You cannot read the accounts of the Gospels without noticing the self-sacrificing ministry of the Savior. He traveled the country far and wide preaching the Gospel and doing good to others. He labored tirelessly. It's hard to get away from his own challenging statements when he said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. We lack zeal. We lack love and enthusiasm. Too often it's a chore, it's a trouble, it's an inconvenience to do the work that God has called us to do. Well, we have read some memorable and marvelous words in Matthew 9, in these final few verses of the chapter. A great problem has always beset the Church of Jesus Christ, and the Savior identifies it here. He says the laborers are few. There's a great harvest. There's a great work to do. There's a multitude to reach and gather in, but the laborers are few. So what are we to do? Well, the Savior tells us we are to pray. That's the answer. That's the God-given answer. That's the answer the Savior presents to us in his word. We must seek the Lord. It must be said, concerning our local churches, the laborers are few. And I'm not speaking about Ballymoney when I make this statement, but I'm speaking of the churches generally. It's probably true to say that 20% of the people do 80% of the work. Is your church like that? The laborers are few. We have vacant pulpits in Northern Ireland. Brothers and sisters, I trust that you're praying for those vacant pulpits that the Lord will send a man. I think there's seven. We have the church in Garva, Porclanone, Bush Mills, Mulloglass, Ballymagurney, the Martyrs, Sandown Road. And soon Carrickfergus and Tyndale will be vacant too because we have a man going to Australia and another going to Tasmania. Two or three of our ministers retire this year. Do you know what that means? By the end of this year, 12 Free Presbyterian pulpits here in Northern Ireland will be vacant. I don't remember that ever happening before in the history of our church. 20% of our pulpits will be vacant. We have struggling works on the mainland as we think of England, Scotland and Wales. The foreign mission field is lacking workers. You ever think about Europe? Think of the many countries in our nearby mission field. I think there's something like 26 or 27 members of the European Union. We thank God for the work in Spain, our sister Joy here tonight, the Reverend Hannah, the Reverend Boyd, and those that are connected to them. We think of Angel Alvarez and Jordi Ruiz. We think of those that are serving the Lord in the land of Spain. We think of the south of Ireland and the ministers that we have there in the two churches and the missionary that serves the Lord as he takes the ministry of God's word into the heart of Middle Ireland. But the laborers are few, brethren and sisters. What about the many other countries of Europe? We have no witness as far as the Ulster churches are concerned in France, Germany, Italy, Austria, Belgium, Bulgaria. We could go through all the names tonight of those countries in Europe. Then we think of Africa. Almost 1.1 billion people live in Africa. And we think of India, over 1.2 billion people residing there. We think of China, over 1.3 billion living in China. Do you know what that means, men and women, tonight? It means if you live in one of those three countries, you form half of the population of the world. When you add those figures together, and truly we can say the laborers are few. And so what's the answer? The Savior gives the answer, and he says, pray, pray ye therefore, that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers into the harvest. In the light of the fact that laborers are few, Jesus says, pray. God moves in answer to the prayers of his people. He has given to us this means of grace, this immense privilege to his people. We can draw near to the throne. We can approach the Most High. Jesus says, pray. When the laborers are few, pray. When our pulpits are vacant, pray. When workers are needed, pray. When missionaries are lacking, pray. When we see the multitudes of lost souls, we are duty-bound to bring the matter to God in prayer. Bishop J.C. Ryle, commenting on this passage of Scripture, said, there is a solemn duty incumbent on all Christians who would do good to the unconverted part of the world. They are to pray for more men to be raised up to the work for the conversion of souls. If we know anything of prayer, let us make it a point of conscience never to forget the solemn charge of our Lord's. Let us settle it in our minds that it is one of the surest ways of doing good and stemming evil. Personal work is good, but praying is best of all. By prayer we reach him without whom work and money are alike in vain. We obtain the aid of the Holy Ghost. Money can pay agents, universities can give learning, but the Holy Ghost alone can make ministers of the gospel and raise up lay workmen in the spiritual harvest. Never, never may we forget that if we would do good to the world, our first duty is to pray. This is something that all can do in this meeting tonight. God moves an answer to prayer, and therefore we must pray. We must see the value of supplication. We must realize that God raises up men for the spiritual harvest fields in answer to the faithful supplications of his people. The Lord says to his people tonight, pray ye therefore. Because we have vacant pulpits, because we have few workers going forth, because the missionary work is vast and not many missionaries are being sent forth in these days, because the harvest is plenteous, because the fields are white or ready to harvest, because souls are dying, because hell is burning for the teeming multitudes, pray. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Sadly, it is the fainting age. If ever there was a day when we needed to be strong as the Lord's people, and strong particularly in this matter of prayer, it's today. We need to give ourselves over to prayer, brethren and sisters. Can it be said that ministers and missionaries, evangelists and preachers, workers and leaders are not being raised up because we have neglected this matter? Jesus says, pray. And as we pray for revival, we ought to pray for a revival in prayer. In fact, that's where it begins. We think of the Great Commission tonight. There's a command to pray, a command that's binding on us all. But secondly, there is a command to go. And our second text is Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. Jesus not only says, pray ye, but he says, go ye. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And I want to give some emphasis to this command also. It was the purpose of God that the gospel message be communicated to the world. In fact, to the uttermost part of the world. This indeed was the mind of God from all eternity. In reconciling a fallen world unto himself, he gave his only Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And Jesus Christ stood in the place of sinners to turn away the wrath of God by the means of an atoning sacrifice. This message of the mighty work of redemption is to be proclaimed worldwide, that there is a Savior from all sin, that there is one who has been to the cross. He has satisfied divine justice. He's turned away the wrath of God for all those who come to trust in the merit of the Savior's blood. Throughout his ministry, Jesus spoke about the purpose of the incarnation, the purpose of his mission, why he came into the world. He said, "I am come to seek and to save that which was lost. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. I am not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He came that the world through him might be saved." This was the purpose of the incarnation. This was his mission to the earth. And Jesus Christ wants his mission to become our mission, for you and I to be involved in this great work. He wants us, as the old general put it, to live a dying world to save. Is the mission of Christ your mission tonight? At the end of his life and ministry on earth, during the 40-day period of the resurrection, when he showed himself by many infallible proofs, he stressed the importance of declaring the message of salvation to a lost and a perishing world. It was indeed his last command. We've often thought of how parting words are important. They are significant. They are memorable. A family that leaves, maybe emigrates to another part of the world, and they're saying their farewells. The exchange of the conversation is important, isn't it? Or maybe a loved one who has a deathbed, and they have their final instructions to the family, the last words that they want to leave to those that they love. Those words are special. Well, that's the scene that's before us. The Lord is just about to take his leave. He's returning to the right hand of the Father to sit upon the throne of glory. And this is his final word to the disciples and to all of the Lord's people. You can trace it through the Gospels, the final word in the Gospel of Matthew, the chapter 28 and verses 18 to 20. It's all about the Great Commission. His last utterance recorded by Mark, these verses tonight in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15 through to the end of the chapter. Luke's Gospel ends in a similar way. The Acts of the Apostles record the last earthly meeting that Jesus Christ had with his disciples, the final words that Jesus spoke before he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. I'm sure you know the words well. Acts chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. He says, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and the cloud received him out of their sight. This is the chief assignment delegated to the church of Jesus Christ. Preaching, so that the elect from all the nations of the world can be gathered in. Preaching must be central in all that we do. Brethren and sisters, we're not a social church. And there may be areas, especially on the mission field and in third world countries, where those matters are taken into consideration and help is given, and rightly so. We are a gospel-preaching church. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. We're not to become sidetracked by other matters that are of lesser importance either. The disciples, it seems to me, were momentarily distracted by the doctrine of eschatology. And what a great subject eschatology is. It is good to know what you believe. Isn't that right, Mr. Moderator? Good to have your settled views. It's of vital importance to know that Jesus is coming again, and that we are all agreed. But we're not to be sidetracked, and it seemed as if these disciples were, because in this last meeting that they have with the Savior, they're thinking about the future. They're thinking about the subject of eschatology. They're wondering if the Lord is going to restore again the kingdom to Israel and do it now. But the Lord said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father hath put in his own power. But here's your work. Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, beginning in Jerusalem, and then in Judea, and then Samaria, and ultimately to the uttermost part of the earth. Our first mission is Jerusalem. Well, not the Jerusalem in Israel, it was for these men, but Jerusalem speaks of home. And let me say, you'll never be a missionary anywhere else until you've learned to be a missionary right on your doorstep. To reach your family, to reach your friends, and your work companions, and those that you train with at your school, to reach your neighbors with the gospel, this is our Jerusalem, wherever you are from. And then Judea, I like to think in my mind that Judea is Northern Ireland, it's the rest of the province. We're not selfish in this regard. We want to see God move through the whole land, throughout Northern Ireland. We want to see the blessing of God coming upon all of our churches. And where we can, as a family in this denomination, we will help our brethren to see the gospel going forth. And we thank the Lord for those that are involved on the wider front in Northern Ireland. And we think of our sister Joyce working among the children. We think of Chris. We think of Robert. We think of others that are helping with the overall work through the province in our Judea. What about Samaria? It's always seemed to be the south of Ireland. We're so glad for the work that's going on there. The two churches that we have in the south of Ireland, our brother Colin, as he goes down with the bus ministry. And we think of the Irish Ploughing Championships, the work that is done there every year. And in more recent times, the Consider Christ campaign, as the gospel is being brought down to the south of Ireland, to our Samaria. And then, of course, the uttermost part of the earth. We talked about Europe and all those countries, and there's no representation there. And we think of Africa, and we think of India and China. We think of Nepal and other parts. We have a God-given duty to remember the work of missions in other parts of the world, to further the gospel as far as it lies within us. And that's why we send our missionaries into the world. And that's why it's our desire that from these Easter Convention meetings that lives will be touched and missionaries will be raised up. That's why we have a mission board and a missionary council and a presbytery that's in the business of sending the gospel to other parts. A New Testament church is a missionary-minded church. We must believe in the spread of the gospel. It's the mind of God. If we do not believe in the Great Commission and take an active role in the furtherance of the gospel both at home and abroad, we are not New Testament Christians. And sadly, the church by and large has lost its vision. Few are being sent. Not many willing to go. Not many willing to pay the sacrifice, to give up all for the Lord. We need a revival in missionary desire. The laborers are still few. Listen to what some of the great missionary heroes of the past said. Hudson Taylor, who labored for many years in the land of China, he said, the Great Commission is not an option to be considered. It's a command to be obeyed. Henry Martin, missionary to India and Persia, said, the Spirit of Christ is the spirit of missions. The nearer we get to Him, the more intensely missionary we become. Amy Carmichael, we can maybe call her one of her own, from the town of Malaya, went to India as a missionary. She wrote the words, give me the love that leads the way, the faith that nothing can dismay, the hope no disappointments tire, the passion that will burn like fire, Let me not sink to be a clod. Make me thy fuel, flame of God. Jim Elliot, missionary martyr who lost his life in the late 1950s trying to reach the Aka Indians of Ecuador, he said, "He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." I only wish tonight that the spirit of the Great Commission burned afresh in all of our hearts, that the Lord will give us a burden tonight, that he will give us a concern, he will give us a vision. For where there's no vision, the people will perish. And so we have a divine command. Go ye. God is calling. God is calling you young people tonight. Are we obeying the Great Commission? Are we involved in this great work? Do we seek to evangelize the lost? Have you heard the Lord speak in your heart of recent times, maybe even tonight? Does the love of Christ constrain you? Can you not hear the tramp, tramp, tramp of the feet of men and women as they're going out into a lost eternity? As they walk over the very precipice into hell itself. You know, we often speak about the cost. We think about the sacrifice of what it is to be in God's work and to be a missionary. The things that we have to give up. In a sense, of course, it's so. The disciples gave up so much for the Lord. Peter one day said to Jesus, "Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee." And that's true. And the Lord acknowledged that. Because on that occasion, Jesus told them, "Everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life." And so there may very well be sacrifice involved. Giving up your ambitions, giving up your fortunes, giving up your possessions, giving up your family, giving up your country for the sake of the gospel and for the glory of God, giving up those things that we hold dear, saying farewell to our earthly dreams and our worldly aspirations. But maybe we ought to be looking at the privilege rather than the sacrifice. Not what we give up, but the privilege of serving the Lord Jesus Christ. I finish with the words of David Livingstone. And this is what he said. If a commission by an earthly king is considered an honor, how can a commission by a heavenly king be considered a sacrifice? You and I were called to represent Her Majesty, or whatever country we are from, to represent the monarch of that country. We would say that's a great privilege to be an ambassador. Why shouldn't it be more so to serve the king? Not a sacrifice, but a great privilege. What will you do tonight? Young people, how will you respond? Well, all of us can be involved in the first command, pray ye, and I trust that we shall. All of us should be involved in the second command too. Go ye, even if it is just at home, a missionary on your doorstep. But it may be in this audience tonight, and we're so glad to see the martyrs filled, that God is speaking particularly to some young people. And you feel the impact of His word, the words of the Savior, His parting wish as He left this earth. And He says, "Go ye." We want to be as helpful as we possibly can. Our moderators here, Reverend Smiley, the principal of our Bible college, many of our ministers. Young people, if the Lord is speaking to you, you lay on the altar for Him. And as He says, "Go ye," you say, "Here am I, Lord. Send me. Make yourself willing for the work of the Great Commission." Amen.
On your behalf, I want to thank Mr. Park for his word, for the Lord's word that he's brought to us this evening. I trust that it will be registered upon all of our hearts, that God, by his Spirit, will continue to speak. What he has said, though, in those closing sentences, we would reiterate. And should there be young people here this evening who would like to speak with any of us concerning the Lord's call, if you're seeking to discern the Lord's will, we'll be glad to help you, glad to speak with you. You may want to speak with Mr. Ferguson, who's here, the principal of the college, about the Bible college. There may be questions of different kinds upon your heart. We trust that tonight the Lord will speak and give you grace to seek out help. And it will be wonderful that out of this weekend of meetings here, the Lord will do a great work, and some will be set aside, and the Lord will deal with hearts, and there will be those who will hear the call of God and go forth to serve our Saviour. We're turning to hymn number 526. May I say, while you turn to that hymn, that the offering this evening came to £3,540. We thank you very much indeed for your generous giving this evening. Again, remember the meetings on Monday at 3:30 and 7 o'clock. We would love to see the building filled out again, even filled to capacity altogether, and every space taken. So you do your bit and pray much and come along and bring others with you under the sound of God's word, Monday 3:30 and 7 in the will of the Lord. Remember Mr. Smiley's instructions concerning the supper now. When we finish the meeting, just follow those guidelines, and we trust the Lord will bless the time around the refreshments. Number 526, we'll sing the first and the last verses. And as we sing, I'd like to ask the Reverend Paul Fitzsimons to come forward and close with prayer. This meeting this evening has been of a missionary kind, and our brother has served in the mission field, and it's appropriate that we have him come to the pulpit and lead us in our closing prayer and give thanks for the food and dismiss us with God's blessing. 526, verses 1 and 3.
Our gracious God and our eternal Father in heaven, we do thank thee for a glorious sense of thy holy presence in our midst this night. And we thank thee for the power of our Saviour's precious atoning blood. And we do rejoice that it is the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanseth us from all sin. We thank thee for the cross of our Saviour. We thank thee that in agony and blood he bore away our sins in his own body on Calvary's middle tree. And Lord, we do pray that thou would turn our eyes continually to gaze upon Christ and upon him crucified. We think of the words of C.T. Studd, "If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice is too great for me to make for him." And our Father, we do pray that as young men and women have had their eyes turned afresh to Christ and to Calvary this night, that they would bow their hearts before the cross, that they would give themselves a sacrifice acceptable unto God, that they would commit their lives wholly unto the cause of the gospel here at home and indeed unto the uttermost parts of the earth. We thank thee for the service. We thank thee for every aspect of the meeting tonight. And most of all, we desire the glory and the honor of our Savior's name. We do pray that thou bless our missionaries across the world. We ask thee, Lord, to fill them with power, with unction from on high. And even as we heard tonight of that man, John Livingstone, and how he preached the gospel and how multitudes were saved, Lord, we pray for return of those days. And so, God, we pray for return of thy Holy Spirit with such power. Lord, in mercy, visit us again, we pray. Send forth men and women with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ unto the uttermost parts of the world. We do pray that thou would help us as a church at home to strengthen them by holding the cords of prayer. But, O Lord, we realize it is the power and the demonstration of thy Holy Spirit that we need. Lord, fill our missionaries, fill our ministers, fill our Bible students with the power and the wisdom of the Holy Ghost. And we do pray that the gospel of the grace of God and of the blood of Jesus Christ will spread like wildfire to the uttermost ends of this world. Now, Lord, we give thee thanks for thy goodness tonight. We thank thee for thy blessing upon us. We thank thee for the good things provided for the use of our bodies. Bless them to us and bless our bodies in the service of Christ, our great King. And, O God, we pray that thou would carry us to our homes safely. And, Lord, may we remember thee. And may we give ourselves wholeheartedly unto Christ and to the gospel. Part us now in thy fear, and with thy blessing abiding upon all who love the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity and in truth. For we ask it all in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.